Moving my head.
Yeah.
I'm laying it off.
Love that too.
I'm pronating.
When you're not supinating.
I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair. I look like a fool.
What the hell do you think you look like shooting them chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass?
Well, we're waiting.
What is up, golf fans, and welcome back to another special episode of Fairways and Dreams. Not that every episode isn't special, but this one is, as we get ready for the Masters Tournament, which starts today, Thursday. It is Thursday morning, and we are going to be talking all about the Masters. Now, if you're looking for really specific information, especially gambling on the tournament, go back and check out my two-man scramble with my buddy Pez. We do a gambling podcast together and talked all about that on our two-man scramble on Tuesday. Go check that out. But today I'm going to be talking about bets for sure at the end of this, but also why the Masters is special to me. And this is a story that is at times tough to tell, difficult to tell. My wife and I were kind of reliving some of this as I was getting my show notes together. And the Masters is special to a lot of people. It really is. And I'm not about to, there's people that they went on a trip to the Masters and they went with a dad or a parent or a grandfather and they lost that family member. And trust me, I get it. That there's a special magic about this tournament. But for me, the Masters is unbelievably special, not just because it's the first major either. A lot of it is the mystique around it. I think it's the fact that it's the only major tournament that is always played in the same location. I think that you have, at least for me, I remember watching it as a kid and I'd go out in the backyard. And when I was even through high school, you're messing around on the putting green before a match, or even as an adult, if you're trying to put some pressure on yourself, what do you always say? I can't say what I say. What you say is up to you. But what I always say when I'm trying to put pressure on myself is, okay, this putt's for the green jacket. This putt is for the Masters win. I can remember as a kid pretending I was Jim Nantz saying, all right, Jeff Hartman, here he is with a wedge in his hand. He has to get it close for the Masters tournament. Here we go. Let's see what he can do. Like, and I would talk myself through it. It was always the Masters. It was never for the U.S. Open or for the Open Championship or for the PGA. Like, no, it was never that. It was always the Masters. It was always the Masters. So that makes it special in and of itself. But that was young Jeff. Like that was Jeff when he was high school and younger. But as a 41-year-old man, it's special for a whole other reason. And it's, this weekend is always special to me for this reason. So let me tell you this story. And this is a story about a friend of mine named Chris. Now, Chris is someone that actually knew my wife. He was the manager of a pool where my wife was a lifeguard back when she was in high school. My wife goes to college. We meet in college. After college, we get invited to a party and he's there. So she knew him. And he and I, we hit it off. We have the same type of personality. We had the same sense of humor. And lo and behold, we start hanging out more and more. He and his wife and my wife and myself, obviously, we will go out to dinner. We get together. And even when we started to have children, he was always around. It was a lot of fun. Great friendship. Then Chris decided, he and his wife, they decided they were going to get a divorce. And so Chris was now by himself in his house a lot. And it was one day where I was talking with my wife and I said, we were going to go for a hike. We had our son at the time as our only child. And I would just carry him in a backpack. We had one of those hiking backpacks for a kid. I said, should we invite Chris? Like, do you think he would want to go? And my wife said, yeah, let's give him a call. So I call up Chris and he said, sure, I'd love to. So we go for a hike and we're walking, we're talking. He's kind of sounding off about the divorce and which hadn't been finalized yet, but he's, there's a frustration level. There's a disappointment. He's basically just taking this time out in there to just let it all go. And we're just listening. And so at the end of the hike, we get back to the car and Chris says, I can't thank you all enough for inviting me. And I said, hey man, like that's fine. I said, I don't know what you're doing later. I said, but this weekend, like the Masters is going to be on. And I believe it was a Saturday. I said, you're more than welcome to come over. We're just going to order a couple pizzas and watch the golf tournament. He said, that sounds really awesome. I'll go home, I'll shower and I'll come up and we'll watch it. So what I didn't realize was at that time started a tradition where every single Masters tournament, I would watch at least one round with my friend Chris. And this was just ongoing. Like, it was just kind of like, well, hey, the Masters is this weekend. When are you coming up? Maybe it was Thursday. Maybe it was Friday. Maybe it was over the weekend. It was almost always a Saturday or a Sunday. He would come to the house. We'd have a meal and we'd enjoy watching this golf. Chris, by the way, was not a huge golfer. He loved sports. He was a huge Steeler fan. So we had a connection there as well, but he was not a great golfer. I'll never forget. We went to Williamsburg, Virginia, and he was golfing with myself and my father. And there was a time I was riding in a cart with Chris and he said, "Hey, can I hit it out of this straw?" And it was like the pine straw. And I said, "Yeah, you can hit it out of that." And so he had to just punch it between two trees. I swear the gap was about 15 yards in width. And I'm like, "You just got to punch it between those trees, man." He goes, "Okay." And so I'm talking him through it. He hit one of those trees and I swear it went 30 yards behind us. And we laughed hysterically. It was so fun. He never took himself too serious, but he did love watching the PGA Tour, and he loved watching how great these golfers were. So this tradition of watching the golf tournament with Chris was just ongoing. It kept going, and it was a lot of fun. I did enjoy it. And then, unfortunately, my friend Chris, he was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And at first, nothing had really changed too much for him. Then all of a sudden, you know, he started to get weaker. And he wasn't able to do a lot of the things that he used to do. We used to work out together in the mornings at the gym and lift weights. I'll never forget watching him where he could barely take a 15-pound dumbbell and push it over his head. And this is a guy that could at least bench press at his strongest, like almost 225 pounds. He wasn't a big guy, but he was gaining some strength. And he goes, "Jeff, what's going on?" And I said, I don't know. Like, is it fatigue? He was traveling a lot for work. He was going to Brazil. He was going to Sweden. He was going to France. He was going all over the globe. And it was just really weird to have to watch his body like slowly decline. So eventually Chris is wheelchair bound and he still makes his way up every single time for the Masters tournament, and I'm taking care of him while we're watching the tournament. And I'll never forget the last tournament that we watched together. So this was actually in 2015, so the year that Jordan Spieth won the Masters. And we're watching the tournament. It's a Saturday. And I'd been up there most of the day. My wife was there helping out. He had remarried prior to being diagnosed with ALS. And when we would come over, his wife would take a break. She would get to go and run errands, go for a run or hike, whatever she wanted to do. And so we were there to help. And we watched the Saturday round, and my wife cooked some food down at his house. And when I was leaving that day, I said, "Man, this was a lot of fun. Like, it was really good golf. Like, it was fun. It was entertaining. There was a lot of excitement." He liked Jordan Spieth a lot. He liked how he was young at the time, and he's a young guy that's, you know, like, he's kind of fiery and he's also very erratic sometimes. He probably found some parallels between Jordan Spieth himself. And so the golf was over for the day. And I said, "All right, man, I think we're going to head out of here. Is there anything I can do for you?" And he goes, "No, man, I'm good. I'm good." I said, "You sure?" He said, "Jeff, I'm good." And I said, "All right, man, well, I'll be talking to you." And he said, "All right, man, take it easy. I'll see you." It was the next day I got an email from his wife that said that he had passed away. And so the Masters tournament for me, it's not just about the golf. It's not just about the major tournament. It's not just about the tradition and the mystique and how they don't call them, you know, they call them patrons. Like, that's all crap. Like, I really don't care. To me, the Masters tournament is special now because it reminds me of my friend who, like, I can't believe next year he'll be gone for 10 years. And we used to just always sit down and watch a round of golf together. And he was probably my best friend that I ever had. And sometimes you don't realize that until you're looking back on things in hindsight. But so I wanted to do this podcast for him. I'm sure that somewhere out there in the ether where he is floating around, or gosh, I'm sure he's doing something. He was always busy. I never forget him. So I do believe that, you know, someone said, I think you die twice. It's when you die on this earth and then when people never speak your name again. So I'm going to do my part to make sure that his second life is still ongoing. So for Chris, man, this Masters is always special because of you, for sure. So wanted to tell that story. It's very special to me. He was a special guy for sure. So, all right, let's shift gears here. Let's kind of shake it out. Let's get loose. Let's not be Debbie Downers the entire podcast. I want to make sure we can still talk about some fun stuff about the Masters, because not only is it a special tournament for me, but it is an unbelievable tournament. I mean, this golf course is just immaculate. It is beautiful. I'm going to get there one day. I'm going to get there before I die. Before I go off into the ether myself, I'm going to get there and I'm going to watch this freaking tournament. I don't care if it's a practice round. I don't care if it's a par three tournament. I'm going to get there. So let's talk about bets. So these majors, you know, there's been times on this podcast, if you've been listening for the last, I don't know how many weeks, months of this podcast, that you're like, okay, there's just, Jeff didn't really talk about a lot of bets. Some of these tournaments for the Houston Open, the Valero, the Mexico Open, whatever they're calling that now, there's just not a lot of action because the field is not good. This is different. You're bringing the live golfers in. You have the PGA Tour's best. Tiger Woods is playing, and it's, let's see what we can put together. And this is when not only do you have a ton of specials, tournament specials, you have a lot of different ways you can bet and manipulate the dollar, but at the same time, there's a lot of unknown. The unknown factor here, in my opinion, it's not Tiger Woods and his health. It is the live golfers. When you're talking about your John Rahms, your Brooks Koepkas, your Dustin Johnsons, your Cameron Smiths, you're talking about these players, Bryson DeChambeau is another one. Patrick Reed, we'll talk about him in a second. I have no idea the caliber of golfer, the type of golf they've been playing. I know the caliber of golfer, but I don't know if they've been playing good golf. Is if they've won a couple tournaments on LIV, is that even worth discussing? Because they only play 54 holes. It's not a deep field. There's the whole team aspect. Does that change their approach? It's weird. It's a lot of unknown. So let's do what we always do, and then we'll dive into the tournament specials. We're going to talk about favorites, the bets we really like, and then long shot to win as well. So first, let's talk about the favorites. I hate doing this because it's the worst odds in this field, and that's Scottie Scheffler plus 400. But someone tell me a golfer out there that's playing better than Scottie Scheffler right now. I'll wait. Well, I'd be waiting for a long time because there's no one playing better than Scottie Scheffler right now. The guy took last week off. The week prior, he probably should have won the golf tournament, but he didn't. And he won the prior two that he played in, the Players and the Arnold Palmer Invitational. The guy is red hot right now. So Scottie Scheffler plus 400, no, they're not the best odds, but if you're looking to win a bet, that's your best bet right now. It's not just because, well, it's a name, it's because he's playing great golf. Let's go to the next one. Much better odds, plus 1,100, John Rahm. Yeah, I know I just said that with LIV Golf, you just don't know what these guys are capable of in terms of this season. We know that John Rahm can still play. He hasn't been at LIV for a long time. It's only been a few months with their season beginning. This is what we want to see. Plus 1,100. John Rahm, I think that's a good bet. Now, kudos to the Break 80 guys, our Break 80 podcast on the Golfer Gang Network, which, by the way, the website is live. So go check out golfergang.com. Check out all the podcasts that we have on the network. It is growing. We're adding them by the week. So go check that out. They had Wyndham Clark's caddy on the podcast. The Break 80 guys did. And he said Wyndham Clark is hitting the ball well. Wyndham Clark is plus 4,000. People forget the Players. He was a lip out away from having a playoff with Scottie Scheffler. He was playing great golf until he got, I think it was his back. So I'm hoping that the week off last week gets him right and he's able to play. But plus 4,000, those are good odds. Now, let's go to some longer odds. Plus 4,000 is pretty long, but if we're going longer than plus 4,000, if that's the line of demarcation between good odds and long odds, let's go with Shane Lowry, plus 5,500. He's a guy that always seems to fly under the radar. I don't know why, because he's Irish. I really don't know. Nonetheless, he hits the ball well. He controls his irons well. Plus 5,500, those are good odds. Next, I do like the villain story sometimes. There's sometimes I do like to talk about a villain. And I do like the villain aspect of some of these players. One player in particular, man, he did an interview with, I think, Golf Digest, and they aired a clip on Instagram. And let's just say it wasn't the best camera angle. He wasn't sitting upright. Like, he was slouching a little bit. It didn't make his figure look the best. And the comments were ruthless. I'm talking about Patrick Reed. People hate Patrick Reed already. Outside of the Ryder Cup when he's Mr. America and all that stuff. Outside of that, they can't stand Patrick Reed. They hate that people think that he's cheated. People think that he's, you know, just a fat slob. Not what I said. I've seen many people say that, though. Some people say that he went to live. Good riddance. We don't need you here anymore. He's had beefs with players on the tour, but he's plus 8,000. This is a former winner. Now, again, I don't know what he's done while he's on LIV Golf, but I will say that if there's someone who would embrace that villain, it's Patrick Reed. It is Patrick Reed. So let's go to the last one. And it's probably the one guy that I'm not sure if he were to able to pull it off one last time, if he were able to win one more time, if they would be happy or not. And that would be Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson is plus 27,000. Plus 27,000. You don't have to put a lot of money down to have that bet pay out in a big, big way. So for me, Phil Mickelson plus 27,000. If you're looking for a long shot, I'm just going to throw 10 bucks down. Put it on Phil. The dude had a top five finish last year. You never know. You don't know with Phil Mickelson. Now let's talk about the specials, because one thing to keep in mind here, I do want to bring this up, is that they are calling for some rain now on Thursday and Friday. That can affect things a lot, whether it's the course. How is the course playing? You're not going to get as much roll out of your drives, but the greens are going to be way more receptive. So maybe driving accuracy is a little bit more important. Driving distance might become a little bit more important. Greens, hitting greens in regulation, having the ability to control your wedges, those are all going to be really important factors if it is wet. But then also, how do they adapt when the course dries up on Saturday and Sunday, playing a lot firmer, faster? How do they adapt to that? So experience could come into play there. So I do want to bring up the weather, because it is valuable to discuss the weather. So first and foremost, when we're talking about the specials, I'm not touching Tiger Woods at all. I did this at the Riv when he was playing at Riviera, and I was like, okay, I'm going to play, say, bogey free front nine. And he screwed me on number three. I think I'm just not, I looked at the odds for Tiger and I just don't believe any of them are going to really happen. I don't think he's going to win the tournament. I don't think he's going to finish in the top 10. I don't know if he'd even be close to sniffing the top 20. I don't know if he's going to make the cut. We don't know. He's played eight holes or something like that this entire season. There's specials about, is Tiger going to have a bogey-free round? Is he going to have a bogey-free front nine, back nine? I don't think he's going to do any of it. I think the Tiger Woods, his return is now. He's starting his return now. You can't count seven holes or one round of golf at Riviera as his official comeback. You can talk about hitting balls in the range and how he's striping it and how he's playing well in practice rounds. It's not the same. So until Tiger Woods goes out and does it, I'm expecting a lot of peaks and valleys with him. I think he'll have birdies. I think there's going to be bogeys. There might be some double bogeys out there. We'll see. But I'm not playing any bets with Tiger Woods in this tournament. If I touch him at all, it would only be an in-round bet. And that's something I do want to bring up here before I get into the specials. If you've never gambled on golf, and I'm not telling anyone to gamble on golf, so a fun thing to do is in-round gambling. So you could be watching on Saturday, and you're like, okay, wow, some people are starting to make them. It's moving day. People are making a charge. You're seeing the leaderboard completely change. You can go on and get some new odds on some of these players. And sometimes the odds, you might have like a Patrick Reed at plus 8,000. If he's all of a sudden sniffing the top 20, you might only be able to grab plus 1,000. But you know that Patrick Reed, even though it's not nearly as good of an odds as if you had it before round one, you can get those odds and you can then maybe cash in on a still really good bet at plus 1,000. So in round betting is something that you can check out, and it is very interactive. Depends on the sports book and how you're doing it, but still keep a lookout for that. But let's talk about the specials here. The specials that I like, first and foremost, top 10, including ties, two players, Scottie Scheffler, obviously talked about him already, and Rory McIlroy. I think Rory's going to play well. I think he's going to be in the top 10. If he's not, I'm fine with that. Not a huge Rory McIlroy fan, but that's a plus 220 bet, so not the best odds. You want better odds, and I think these two guys are going to play well as well. Top 10 finish, including ties, Hideki Matsuyama and Jordan Spieth, plus 800. Matsuyama's playing good golf. I am worried about Jordan Spieth, although he finished well last week. He said he did re-injure his wrist. I don't know what that means for his swing. I know that he played a lot of last year with that injury, so he's used to it. But at the same time, how's it going to impact his overall ability to hit the ball, especially in different conditions, whether it's rainy, stuff like that. So those are your, I like those two plays. Top 10 finishes for those two. Again, the plus 800 with Matsuyama and Spieth, much better than the plus 220 with Rory and Scotty. Here's another. This is, hey, call me a homer, I don't care. There's something about this course with certain players that you just say, man, it just fits. It just fits. That is what it is for Freddie Couples. Am I thinking Freddie's going to win the tournament? No. But is it to make the cut? To plus 245. Plus 245 to make the cut. Freddie Couples. That might be my play. That might be my play. Let's see if he could do it. Freddie, one more time, man. You can do it. You can do it. And let's go to some very unique specials here. If you're someone that hates LIV Golf, now you're going to have to pair these up with some other bets if you want to make some money. There's a bet right now. LIV versus the field, meaning outright winner. LIV versus the field. LIV Golf plus 280. So if one of the LIV members wins, you would have plus 280 odds. The field minus 390. Not good odds. So again, you're going to have to parlay this in with something else if you want to make some money. Then there's another one. The big guns. Who are the big guns? Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, and Xander Schauffele. Those four players. If one of those four players wins, plus 158 versus the field, minus 215. So maybe you don't think any of those guys are going to win. You take the field. You might parlay that with something else like Freddie Couples making the cut. And then finish with another bet of whatever you think is a good logical bet. There's a million bets out there. And there were, I could have done a show for an hour on some of these bets that I really, really like. Instead, I had to narrow my focus. Go check it out if you like to make the game a little bit more interesting by putting some money on it. But that does it for me, folks. I really do appreciate everyone's support. The Golfer Gang Network is completely off the ground now. GolferGang.com. Go check it out. Check out all of our podcasts. We have podcasts in Canada. We've got ones that are specific to location. The Drop Podcast, Golfing in the Garden State. I mentioned Break 80. They're up in Minnesota. Go check out all of them. The Upstate New York guys. Great, great content. We have new podcasts all the time. You can find them all at GolferGang.com. That does it on Tuesday. I'm trying to leverage some of our network. I want to get some of these other podcasts on my podcast, talk about the Masters, talk about their game, have some fun doing it. In the meantime, enjoy the Masters. This is what it's all about. This first major, it's so much fun. And you know how we finished out. Be safe. Be kind. God bless. Hit them straight. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the Masters.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.